The first reading today, we hear a reading that, quite honestly, I find rather terrifying, because it says that he who dies at 100 years will be considered a mere youth, and that anyone who doesn't make it to 100 will be thought accursed. Now, I don't know about you, but living to be 100 years old is not one of the goals of my life. In a world that is as corrupt and despicable as the one we're living in, let's get out of here as soon as we can. The goal is to get to heaven, not to see how long we can live on earth. And yet at the same time, when we recognize that not only is this the word of God, but it's in the prophet Isaiah. And I say that because Isaiah is extraordinary in the precision of his prophecies. In other words, there is a time that is going to come when people are going to be living once again to biblical ages. But in that time, you will also recognize it's not going to be like the mess that we have right now. If you actually look back into the ancient world, what it tells us in Scripture is that the lifetimes that people lived began to get shorter and shorter and shorter. And it was interesting because it was right at the time of the flood, the time when things had gotten so evil. So we realize that if people are going to be living this long, it's because, once again, things are operating more according to the way that God intended. In other words, perhaps, maybe this is what's going to happen in the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, when people are going to be living according to the will of God, where the world will have been purified, the church will have been purified, and people are going to truly serve the Lord. It isn't going to be going through the motions or giving lip service to God, but we're actually going to be living what we believe. And we're going to live our lives for the Lord. We're going to do what we heard this man in the gospel did today. The Lord spoke, and it says, the man believed. Do we? The Lord speaks, and we shrug it off. The Lord speaks, and we say, well, I don't have scientific proof that that's going to be the case, so I won't believe. The Lord speaks and we say, oh, yeah, he can do anything that he wants, but he wouldn't do that for me. Why not? If God loves you, why won't he do things for you? You see where the devil has managed to convince us that, number one, God doesn't really love us. Number two, that we're not lovable anyway, so even if God loves us, we can't receive his love because we're not lovable. And then number three, we're in this for ourselves. Somehow it's almost like God created the world and now he's just sort of leaving it hang out there, and he really doesn't have much to do with the world or with our own lives. I have to do this myself. And that's all 100% wrong. But tragically, it's the way that many people are trying to live things these days. So that's where we have to be able to look at this and say, we need to get things back where they belong. And God's going to have to take care of the church and the world. The mess is just way too big for us to be able to deal with. We don't have the authority anyway. But we need to look at the mess that we call our own life, because that's something that we can do something about, and we have authority in that area. And are we really striving to get things turned around so that we're living according to the way that God wants us to live? If we really look at the lives of the saints, we recognize that for the saints, just living a good life was not what they were interested in. They wanted to be holy. They wanted to live truly holy lives united with the will of God. There are lots of people who kind of have the attitude that, well, as long as I'm not in the state of mortal sin, then it's okay. God didn't say venial sin was okay. It's not mortal. But we want to get rid of that too. All too often we have made friends with sin, and we don't really want to get rid of it in our lives because we like our sins more than we like God. Now, we wouldn't ever actually admit to that. Heaven forbid. No, of course, I love God more than anything. So let me go out and sin because I love God so much that I'm going to offend him. Really? We love sin more than we love God. No, we're not going to say we love mortal sin more than we love God. But the reality is, in the way that we often live our lives, we're putting sin before God. And so those are some of the areas where we need to look at these things and be able to say, okay, yeah, the church and the world, they're a disaster right now. So is my own life. What can I do with my life? What can I make changes in so that I can start to live more according to the will of God, so that I can conform myself to his holy will? Where can I truly believe in what the Lord has said? You know, again, we're falling into the problem that a prophet's never accepted in his own country. Jesus isn't just a prophet, he's the Son of God. And even there, he's not accepted among those who claim to be his followers. Maybe we've gotten just a little too familiar. That's a major problem that we have. That is, we try to make God in our own image and likeness rather than accepting that we're made in his image and likeness. We try to force Jesus to say that what we're doing is the way he wants us to do it, even though that's not what he has said. And so are we really willing to listen to him? Are we really willing to believe what he said? Remember, he's God. What he said is the word of God. It is absolute truth. We shrug it off. We let it go in one ear and out the other. We just think that, no, that really can't be, or who knows what excuses we come up with as to why that isn't going to be. Do we really believe? And most importantly, do we really love the Lord? That's where the rubber hits the road. Do we really, truly love the Lord? If we go back to where we started, who cares if we live 100 years or not? Because you're going to live for eternity. This world is the blink of an eye, even if you live 100 years. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about life without end. And every last one of us is going to live for eternity, but there are only two options as to where we're going to do that. One is going to be the people who really wanted to do the will of God and who love him with their whole heart and soul and strength. The other place is going to be where everybody wanted to do it their own way. Frank Sinatra is going to be down there singing, "I Did It My Way," and they're all going to be singing along with him. And guess where it got them? I'd rather do it God's way. And if, in his sense of humor, he decides that I should live for 600 or 800 years, well, praise him. Because all that does is give us a greater opportunity to grow in holiness in this life, so that we'll be able to love him more in the next. I hope that's not what he wants to do. Let him take us home so that we can get where we want to be. But we have to really want to be there. We have to make the choice, and we need to live it. So to believe what it is that he says, to put it into practice, but to love him, that is what it's all about. Heaven is about love of God and love of neighbor. That's what he's asking us to strive for now. In the new creation, which is heaven, but even if he's going to do a new creation in the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, that's the way people are going to be living. We don't have to wait until that happens. God wants us to reform our own lives. He'll take care of the rest of it. He's asking us to cooperate with our own self, to be able to strive to make the changes that are necessary so that we can live according to his will now and prepare ourselves to be completely and perfectly united to his holy will for all eternity.